Hey, what's up, everybody? We are live for the SmackDown post-show. It's Wrestling Uncensored tonight. Big E suffers an injury. We have a new match set for WrestleMania, and we're watching AEW Rampage. Let's get Johnny in here. Let's get this show started. Yeah. Johnny. What's up, buddy?
Well, it's a rough night tonight. You know, After seeing Big E get dropped on his head like that, it's rough, man. You never want to see anything like that happen, and it's tough. It's good to know that, you know, he can still, like, move his hands, like, he still has feeling in, like, a lot of his body, but, like, that's a rough injury that he got. It's terrible.
Yeah, it was an over-the-head, belly-to-belly suplex from Ridge Holland during a tag team match tonight on SmackDown, and that's really the top story in professional wrestling right now. Just our thoughts with Big E, and we're going to show you here. I'm trying to set something up as I'm setting it up. We're going to show you Big E and what he said from the hospital, but Big E has a broken neck. After a botched overhead belly-to-belly suplex where he landed on his head, it was clearly bad right away. You could tell how E landed. He landed on his head, and then his reaction to it wasn't normal selling. It was like kind of frozen, like he was knocked unconscious. It was pretty scary, and it's nothing you ever want to see happen, and I really hope that Big E is all right, but... let's get to Big E's statement first so we can get an update from the man himself. I think I can do this, John. Let's see. Do you think I can pull this off, John? There's a lot of technology I have to do here in a second. All right, I think maybe I have it. Here we go. So there's Big E from the hospital. Let's hear from the man himself. No? Maybe not.
I can't thank all of you beautiful people enough for all of your concern and your messages. It's very heartwarming. I can move all my digits. You see that? That's nice. That's always a good thing. Strength feels fine. But unfortunately, right now, they tell me my neck is broken. So there's that. But once again, thank you, everybody. I'm going to be all right. I'll be good. Don't worry. Go to sleep. Don't worry about old me, but for real, thank you. And I appreciate all of you, for real.
So there he is, Big E, former champion. Of course, one of the top guys in the WWE. Broken neck after that botched suplex from Ridge Holland. And I'm not going to sit here and pile on Ridge Holland, even though it was his fault. But there's a part of me that feels...
It was, but...
What? You don't think it was his fault?
Yeah.
It was his fault.
No, it was his fault, but... it wasn't intentional. It's not like he meant to do it.
That's it. It's not intentional. He didn't mean to do it. And now he's going to be known as the guy who broke Big E's neck. You know? Like, now he's that guy. Like, there's no doubt in anybody's mind... Whose fault that was? It was Ridge Holland not executing that suplex properly, which caused the injury on Big E. And it's a severe injury. Thankfully, not life-threatening, but those things could be career-ending. I don't know. You know, I mean, he could have been paralyzed tonight. It could have been a serious, serious injury. And it was. It was a broken neck. The guy's not wrestling at WrestleMania now. Guy's not going to wrestle for at least a year, if ever again. And yes, it was Ridge Holland's fault, but, you know, it sucks for Ridge Holland, too. He didn't intend to do that. It's not the first time he did a belly-to-belly suplex. He's done it before, I'm sure. He's practiced this move. So... I don't want to pile on Ridge Holland, but it was obviously his fault. And he may have ended Big E's career tonight. And it sucks. it just sucks. It sucks for Big E. I mean, obviously, it's not going to do Ridge any favors. And I'm sure he feels very badly right now. And if he doesn't, well, I mean, screw him forever. I mean, whoa, you know. But I'm sure he does, right? I mean, how could you not?
Right.
But
sure
there's Doug Hepburn.
He's probably in the hospital right now with him.
Yeah, well, I would hope so. There's Doug Hepburn who says, you know, will they work it like Owen 316, I just broke your neck, which was a T-shirt that they put out briefly, I think for a day. But Owen did kind of talk about it when he broke Austin's neck. But I think Owen Hart is always a great example of, hey, even if you're one of the best wrestlers to ever step into a ring, accidents happen and people could still get hurt. A lot of people like to say, well, these green wrestlers, it's their fault and they don't know what they're doing. And yeah, maybe in this case, that was the case. But even greats like Owen Hart sometimes make mistakes and cause severe injuries like a broken neck to top wrestlers like Stone Cold Steve Austin or Big E. So.
Well, my main complaint, much like the Owen Hart, Steve Austin thing, is like, why is this move happening? Like, why are they doing, if they're going to do a belly to belly, why is it on the outside?
Yeah.
Was it really necessary? Like, I just think, you know, this idea of like, oh, we got to hit big moves all the time. Like, I think this just goes to show, like, you don't have to do that all the time. Like, if they just threw him into the steps, threw him in the post, whatever, that would have been fine. It was just to keep him down, right, for the finish.
I mean,
did you have to hit that move on the outside?
Couldn't he have just kept selling the missed spear through the ropes where he took a back bump? Like, the guy ran from one side of the ring, flew outside of the ring, missed Ridge, takes a back bump on the floor. That was pretty intense. He could have just sold that and stayed down off of that. But what are you going to do now? It's too late.
I think the problem is, like, because we live in the era of, like, oh, you got to do more, more, and more. And this kind of goes to show, like, when you do that, eventually injuries are going to happen because you're going to do too much sometimes. And I think that's what happened here. Like,
yeah.
With Owen and Austin, you didn't need a tombstone piledriver, especially when you have The Undertaker on the show. I don't know why they're doing that move in the first place. And, like, the belly-to-belly, like, does Rich Holland need to hit a belly-to-belly? Like, Big E's already hit one. Drew McIntyre is going to hit one later on. Is it really necessary to have one on the outside? Like, I think they need to rethink, like, why they do these moves sometimes.
Yeah, but you know pro wrestling. I mean, that's not the most crazy move that you see. I mean, it's a wonder Brock Lesnar hasn't broken anybody's neck. You know, like, suplexes happen.
Well, I'll take you back a little bit to, like, SmackDown. I think it was, like, in 2004 or maybe 5. Like, Charlie Haas and Chris Benoit. Chris Benoit nearly broke his neck because Charlie Haas, like, didn't shoot him up enough. And that was very scary. And because of that move, they actually banned over-the-head belly suplexes afterwards for a bit.
Right. But then they brought him back.
Because some people, you know, they realize they can do it. Brock can do it. That's fine. And I think the move's fine, but, like, does everyone have to hit one? Like, again, we already have two or three other people already on the show doing it.
I think suplexes are dangerous, and, you know, they're a part of wrestling, and usually it's fine. But, yeah, a lot of the impact is on the head and neck, and it can go wrong very easily. I saw Taz online saying, you know, a suplex isn't about strength, it's about the technique. And I'm like, didn't you break Sabu's neck with a suplex? Like, take it easy,
well,
bro.
Yeah, but there was weapons involved with that, too. Like,
so?
Didn't he, like, suplex him on a table or something? Like,
so?
I mean, of course you're going to break necks when you're using tables, chairs, ladders. Like, of course. Like,
yeah, okay, but it was still a Tazplex. It was the Tazplex that he botched and broke Sabu's neck. I mean, a lot of people want to jump out and say, hey, this is what you're supposed to do, and this isn't how you do it. I think sometimes accidents happen. I don't want to blame Ridge too hard. I mean, it's his fault, but I don't think, like, it's necessary to pile on and go on a rant about how Ridge Holland is a piece of shit wrestler and he's green as grass and shouldn't be in the ring. Because I don't think that's the case. I don't think he's that bad. I really don't. Just made a mistake tonight. It's a big mistake.
Well, it's like we already said, like Owen Hart, Charlie Haas, I mean, these are good wrestlers. We're good wrestlers. And they made mistakes too. So it could happen to anybody.
People wondering if the injury is legit. I mean, yeah. If you saw the fall, and I don't think I could show it. Honestly, I don't want to see it.
No, WWE would get mad.
Yeah, I think WWE might give us a copyright strike if I showed the fall. They haven't put it out on their Twitter or anything because they showed it once when it happened. They cut away and they didn't show it. They didn't mention it. And they, to me, if you're watching that program and you see something like that happen, everybody watching the show was like, is Big E okay? To me, like, that was the story of SmackDown. That's what everybody was wondering. And the WWE ignored it and acted like it didn't even happen.
Well, they did say at the time when it was happening that he was being looked at. Even though they didn't show it, they did say that they had a medical team looking at Big E. So they stated there, but yeah, they never gave us an update, which was very disappointing from WWE. I mean, at least something, because you did say that he was being looked at by a medical team, and for no follow-up after that, very disappointing. Like, just to say he was taken to a medical facility, at least.
No update, no nothing. And Big E had the update, like, as soon as SmackDown was over. You know? Big E had that update.
Then he was allowed to.
I guess.
Because they didn't want to take the attention away from the show, so they said that you could put it up afterwards, probably.
I don't know. I was a little disappointed with how WWE handled it because, you know, whatever else you're doing, the Sami Zayn Ricochet match or the Ronda Rousey Charlotte Flair brawl, it all takes a backseat when one of your top guys gets a serious injury. That's what we want to know about. That's, you know, that becomes the story of the show, and it's live TV, and you got to keep things moving, and you have to address Big E. I was a little disappointed that WWE, you know, didn't give us an update on the show because clearly it was a serious moment there. But Big E has a broken neck, and who knows what the extent of the damage will be. Apparently, he can still feel his extremities, so he could walk and move around, so he's not paralyzed. But who
That's
knows?
Good news.
Who knows how long it'll take for him to get back to how he was before the overhead belly-to-belly suplex from Ridge Holland tonight. Shout out to Angelo on the chat, Doug Hepburn, some of our members. Don't forget, if you are a member, you can drop us a line, give us a call, talk to us on the show, live, be part of the show. If you are a member, join.ringsidereport.net. That's join.ringsidereport.net. Doug and Angelo, big supporters of the team. Shout out to Alex Terrace, Franco316, Ryan Katz, also watching us live here on YouTube tonight. See you guys in the chat. AEW Rampage is going on. I saw the Hardy Brothers. I'm not calling them the Hardy Boys anymore because they're you know, they're in their 40s.
They're just the Hardys now.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay. What were they doing? Darby Allin had a match with Mark Quinn.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he beat him, I think. And then something happened with
the
Hardys.
Beat down.
What happened?
Yeah, well, they were getting jumped, Darby and Sting, by Andrade's group, and then the Hardys made the save.
Oh, okay. They're wearing their old school gear. Matt Hardy with his see-through mesh shirt, I noticed. It's always what you want to see. A mesh shirt.
I'm sure that merch is going to sell like crazy, though.
The mesh shirts?
Well, I don't know if you've seen the new... The Hardy's t-shirt, new one?
No.
You're going to see a lot more, I think, in the crowds, more than likely.
Good. I didn't want to see a bunch of wrestling fans in mesh shirts in the crowd. I think that would be not pretty. Matt Hardy can kind of pull it off, but, you know. We don't all have the physiques to pull off a see-through shirt, John. You know what I mean? You could pull it off. But the rest of us, we need t-shirts where you can't see our bodies underneath, brother. Yeah, right, said Fred. The too sexy shirt. Yeah. Fair to say. John, you like that. You like the... I'm surprised you're not wearing a see-through shirt right now. Looking all jacked over there, baby.
You know, it's still March. It's still cold here. Like, I don't know about you, but...
It's warming up.
It's still wintertime.
It's snowing right now. There's like a lot of snow happening right now. You look outside recently? Big snow.
I don't want to look outside if there's more snow.
Oh, more snow, brother. I thought we were done. Goddamn, pal. So Big E's injury, obviously the story of the night. Everything else on SmackDown, like, I don't know. What did you think? It was kind of a nothing show, right?
Well, as usual, anything with Brock and Roman, that's the best thing. Roman was on the show, but Brock was on the show, and that segment was kind of crazy.
Yeah, but no Tribal Chief. When there's no Tribal Chief, who cares? It's like barely a show.
Yeah, but Brock still made it interesting because Brock's crazy. So I was shocked by what Brock did.
You were? So Brock Lesnar comes to the ring. He's not smiling. He's all mad because Roman Reigns attacked him at Madison Square Garden last Saturday. Last Saturday, Roman beat up Brock. Last Sunday, Roman was in Laval, and I saw Roman, the Tribal Chief, live. Brock wasn't there, though. And then Brock is like, Roman, you did something bad. You messed me up. And he's like showing a scar on his face. But you can't see the scar at all because the shadow of his cowboy hat is covering the scar. So you don't know what Brock's pointing at. You assume it's a scar, but you can't see anything. Take off your hat, Brock. Let me see what the hell's going later. On there. Huh?
He does later.
Yeah, but he's trying to point out the scar and like no one could see it.
Yeah, no. He didn't realize that, obviously.
Well, no, but I mean... Don't they rehearse these things? Somebody's not going to tell
Brock,
him. Like,
I doubt it.
Hey, Brock, maybe take the hat off when you're doing the promo. No! Okay. Well, it's not really going to work. Who cares? All right, Brock. Sorry. Sorry for talking to you. So Brock is mad, and he says he's out for blood tonight, and he doesn't care about the WWE title, and then he tosses the title at Pat McAfee, which was kind of shocking because at first I thought he may have tossed it into the crowd, but he didn't.
Me too.
Yeah, right? That would have been great. Throw the belt to the crowd. Ah, fuck it. Somebody's got the actual belt. That's a souvenir, brother. Damn. I should do that. People go
and
crazy.
And do that too. Like, just to throw the title like it's nothing. Like, I can't, like, this isn't the first time Brock's done this, but to do that again, like, that was very shocking.
It's John Cena.
I couldn't really tell what's being shown right there.
He's in a hefty bag commercial. He's selling garbage bags now, John Cena. He's everywhere, this guy. Sorry, I got distracted by the champ. The champ is here!
Making money.
Yeah, so Brock tossed the belt. It was pretty cool. And then he calls out Roman Reigns. And Paul Heyman comes out, and he's like, hey, Brock, calm down. Let's all relax here. Roman's not here tonight. And Brock's like, well, if Roman's not here, who's going to protect you, Paul Heyman? And then Heyman's like, huh? And Brock starts to leave the ring, so Heyman runs away. And Brock chases after him. And there's some security guards there, and Brock easily tosses, like, four security guards around. He kind of double-goozled a couple of them, which I thought was cool. Just grabbing them by the neck.
That was great.
Yeah. And then Heyman somehow got away from Brock. You know, I have no idea how the goddamn hippopotamus is able to escape the tiger, but he was tonight. And I'm just saying, you know, it was strange. And Heyman was able to get into a car that was just waiting for him miraculously and drove away, leaving Brock angry in the parking lot. Did Heyman know Brock was going to chase after him and attack or try to kill him or whatever? How did he know to have a car waiting for him in the parking lot? That was convenient. And that was it. That's all we saw.
One step ahead.
Yeah, he's very smart. As the Iron Sheik would say, intelligent Jew. Right? I could say that because I'm part of the people. You can't say that, John. But me and Sheiky can say it. I don't know why Sheiky can say
it. She can say it?
Well,
okay, wow.
I give him a pass, all right? I'm giving him a Jew pass. Sheiky is, you know, whatever he is. He's the best. And Paul Heyman is an intelligent Jew. What can I say? He's a Jewish guy, and he's a smart guy, and he's always got a car waiting for him. Escapes the beast. Makes the beast look like a chump. And that was it. You like this? What did you like about this? This seemed kind of basic and plain to me.
Well, again, just how Brock, he started calm, and then once he threw the WWE Championship right at McAfee, then suddenly he's super intense, and it's like, what the heck is Brock going to do next? And then Heyman came out, and then Brock went all crazy backstage. That was enjoyable. I mean, it was good. It was just too short. I thought there was going to be more. I thought, you know, we saw the Usos later on. Thought Brock would maybe take them out or something.
Yeah.
But no.
That would make sense.
But
that would make a lot of sense. Why wouldn't he try to assault the Usos? Yeah.
This was good. Just there should have been more. Like, you know, they added on to Charlotte and Ronda. I don't know why they didn't add on to Brock. I mean, you have limited Brock. I mean, use him as much as you can. It's not like there's other parts of the show that you really care about that much or would be that good. Just more Brock.
Do you have limited Brock? I mean, you're going to get Brock and Roman again next week on SmackDown in a face-to-face thing that they're advertising. So Roman will be on the show next week, and Brock will be too, and they'll be in the ring together doing something.
Well, we only got a couple more weeks of this, right? And then Brock's probably taking another vacation, so got to, you know, use him to his full potential.
Mm-hmm. Jamie Hayter just beat Mercedes Martinez over on AEW Rampage. Thunder Rosa comes to make the save as Britt Baker and Rebel try to beat up Mercedes a bit afterwards. Thunder and Britt, Wednesday on Dynamite for the title in a steel cage in San Antonio. Should be a big one. I'm looking forward to that.
More than likely a title change, I would say. I mean, more than likely the main event. I can't see it not being the main event.
Oh, yeah. No, it's got to be. For the belt?
Well, sometimes they put the main event as the first match, right? So that's not impossible, too.
Yeah. I guess it depends what Bryan Danielson and CM Punk are doing. But I think Britt and Thunder probably main event that Dynamite in San Antonio. I don't know if Thunder's from San Antonio exactly, but she's from that area, so it's kind of like a hometown thing they're billing for
right.
Thunder. Okay, we talked about the Sheamus, Ridge Holland beating Kofi and Big E. So Sheamus hit a bro kick on Kofi for the win after Big E got suplexed. It was kind of convenient. Do you think they rushed the finish of the match? It seemed
100%.
Like the... You did? I don't know. It seemed like it was kind of done at that point anyways.
I feel like there was supposed to be something else to it, but they just went, ah, screw it.
So before the match, Sheamus and Ridge Holland have sledgehammers, and they're being interviewed about their sledgehammers, and they're like, oh, we have a better weapon. Some people know him by his other name, but we know him by his nickname, Butch. And then Pete Dunne shows up dressed like Sheamus and Ridge Holland with the little hat and the suspenders and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why not just call him Budge? I mean, why not just say, you know what? We're going to go with Budge. You know, it's all about the Budge. I don't know if you saw, but Johnny Hungy tweeted out, you know, it's all about the Butch. Because he thought it was funny that they're calling him Butch when they're doing the whole Budge thing with Adam Cole. And Pete Dunne is now Butch. Where's Luke? There's only one Butch in the WWF. There's only room for one Butch in the World Wrestling Federation, and that's Butch of the Bushwhackers, brother. Come on. Give me a hungy. Hey, Cousin Luke. Hey, Cousin Butch. Hey.
I was going to say you interviewed him, but no, you interviewed Cousin Luke.
Cousin Luke! I interviewed Cousin Luke of the Bushwhackers. Never Butch. Yeah, so he's Butch of the Bushwhackers now. What? And then he beat up Kofi Kingston after the match, which will probably lead to nothing because Big E's got a broken neck now. So the New Day against Sheamus and Ridge and Butch, Budge, I don't see that going anywhere. Poor Kofi, like Woods is hurt, Big E's hurt now, Kofi's just kind of by himself. God damn, pal. What a mess. Butch? They changed Pete Dunne's name to Butch? That's how they debut him on SmackDown? Well, you know him as Pete Dunne. Instead of firing him, we're going to use him as Sheamus and Ridge Holland's buddy, Butch. At least now they could just get rid of Ridge Holland and replace him with Pete Dunne, and Sheamus could have a better sidekick. They could do that. As punishment for breaking Big E's neck, just disappear Ridge, and then it's all about the Butch. Maybe you could change Sheamus' name to Luke and just say, fuck it, new Bushwhackers.
Well, I don't know about you, but to me it just feels like they set this up because they wanted to do a six-man, I think, at WrestleMania. Because I think Xavier was probably coming back for WrestleMania.
Oh, great.
And they wanted to do a six-man, but that's not going to happen now, sadly.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe it'll just be Kofi against one of them, Sheamus, possibly. I don't know.
Budge.
I don't know. To me, I'd have Sheamus wrestle, but something. I don't know. It's all screwed up now.
Yeah, well, last week at the house show, I saw Big E wrestle Ridge Holland, and Sheamus accompanied him. I was like, why?
Belly to Belly's there?
I don't remember any, to be honest. I do remember Ridge Holland looking gigantic, though. Like, the guy is super jacked. You'd think he'd be strong enough to pull it off, but doesn't quite have the technique.
Yeah, Big E's not exactly small. Like,
no, Big E's a huge guy. But Ridge was kind of picking him up, and he didn't seem to have a problem with it at the house show. I did see them work a one-on-one match, like, on Sunday. But Sheamus came out first, and then Ridge came out, and the fans seemed disappointed that it wasn't Sheamus wrestling. It was Ridge. I was disappointed, too.
You should be, yeah. Sheamus is the guy that you want to see, like.
Yeah. But now, I don't know. I don't know what they do for WrestleMania. Maybe they do nothing. I mean, you need somebody for the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, right? You need bodies in that if you're actually doing it. Or maybe they're doing it on the SmackDown before. I don't know. I don't know.
Thing is, I think there's only, like, what, 7 matches so far for WrestleMania?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you kind of need at least 10 to 12 matches a night, no? So that 6-man would have made a lot of sense.
10 to 12 matches a night? Ugh.
Well, it's crazy. Like, I mean, really, when you think about it, WrestleMania sort of starts at 1 in the afternoon because NXT is going to be on, right, on Saturday?
Is it?
That's what they announced. Yeah, NXT, not the TakeOver, but like Stand and Deliver or something, I think it's called. It's going to be at 1 p.m. on Saturday.
In the afternoon?
Yeah.
They expect us to watch that show. Is that in an arena somewhere?
I imagine.
Wow. So they expect people to watch a show in the afternoon and then also watch their like 6-hour mania at night and then another one the next day? No, thank you.
I mean, it pretty much is wrestling all day that day, pretty much Saturday.
Yeah, I don't have to do that. I could go outside and smell the roses or wash my hair or, you know, anything else. Anything else other than watching NXT. The only thing I want to watch in NXT is Bron Breakker, who just lost the belt, and that Nikita something. She seems like she might be a star. Have you seen this Nikita Lion?
I saw the picture of her doing that pin on the face thing. Like,
yeah,
her
butt on the face.
Person's face.
Yeah.
Which I'm not a fan of, too, by the way. It's way too much. It's done way too much in wrestling where people do that all the time. And it's,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. If I'm taking that, I wouldn't be too happy about it.
There's buzz, though. It's people are talking about her. People are talking about Nikita Lion. She's like, you know, I mean, I could see why. She's got a an interesting look about her, you know. She has some cool moves and MMA styles. There's something there. Star potential. I saw her debut match. It was, you know, basic, but seemed like she's got something.
Well, maybe I'll have to check out the NXT show on April 2nd, possibly now.
Nah, you're good. You don't need to. You don't really need to. Just watch a clip on YouTube or something later. It's fine. So, Jinder, Shanky, Corbin, and Moss are beating up the Viking Raiders as Drew McIntyre watches from the ring. And then all the bad guys run out, and Drew beats them all up except Corbin, who just kind of watches. And then eventually the heels gang up on Drew and beat him up a bit. And then Drew fights them off. Corbin leaves, and Drew hits a claymore on Shanky. This was, I think, supposed to be Drew and the Raiders against Moss, Jinder, and Shanky, maybe? I don't know.
No, they said Corbin, Jinder, and Moss.
Okay.
That's what was supposed to happen.
Well, whatever. Nothing really happened. Corbin just kind of acted scared and didn't touch Drew while Drew interacted with all the other heels and beat them up, and they're building that match for Mania and whatever. Ronda Rousey cut an in-ring promo. I mean, is there anything you want to say about that, John? About any of that? I couldn't tell who they were beating up at first. I was like, who are these bad guys attacking? There's a lot of bad guys, and I'm like, is that Shanky? Who are the rest of these guys? You know? I don't know. It's kind of a mess. Any comments on this pointless segment?
Just, you know, how disappointed I am that the Viking Raiders, like, in, what, 2 or 3 weeks, they take another beatdown before a match? Really makes them look like they're chumps. They're supposed to be this big, tough tag team, and they get jumped, like, 2 times within, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
And they get jumped by, like, the jabroniest of jabronis, right? It's like Jinder, Shanky, Madcap Moss. You know what I mean? Like, they're such jabronis. Doesn't make them look tough. Good point. Ronda Rousey does her promo in the ring, and it's really quiet. But the crowd seemed into Ronda, so that's all right. Ronda says Charlotte was wrong when she said she could only armbar, and she's been refining the ankle lock that was taught to her by Kurt Angle. Charlotte Flair comes out, and she says, well, last week, Ronda, I wasn't dressed to compete, and that's why you put me in the armbar, and I tapped out, and you took advantage of me, but at WrestleMania, you're not going to tap me out. And Ronda says, yeah, well, I already have, and I'm going to again. And all this, like, Ronda Rousey needs to tap out Charlotte Flair in a match type of thing has been killed for me because I literally saw Ronda Rousey tap out Charlotte Flair last Sunday at the house show. I was surprised that they didn't have Sonya take the armbar, but they had Charlotte take the armbar, middle of the ring, tap, 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 match ended. It was Ronda and Naomi against Charlotte and Sonya. I guess it wasn't a one-on-one, so it's not technically the same, but they had a match, and Charlotte tapped out to Ronda's armbar. I saw it 6 days ago, 5 days ago, however many days ago. It was on Sunday.
You saw it at some point, yeah.
It happened within the past week. All right?
And it actually happened. So I don't think at WrestleMania, because Charlotte said guaranteed she's not going to be tapping out WrestleMania. I don't think she will be tapping out. But I think she is losing, though.
I think she probably taps. I think she taps. Charlotte said, oh, I'm going to make you tap out at WrestleMania, Ronda. And Ronda's like, why don't you try to make me tap out right now? And Charlotte decides not to. And Ronda says, yeah, I'm going to make you tap on the grandest stage of them all. And that was the end of the little promo there. It was, you know, I thought the brawl was good that they did at the end of the show. But this promo I didn't think was that great. Ronda's promos are odd. It's like she's talking to the TV audience, but not really to the audience at large, like in the arena. Like, she doesn't speak loud enough on that mic. She doesn't have, right, like a promo voice. She's just like, Charlotte, you were wrong when you said that I couldn't do this, so I'm gonna do this. And it's like, and there's not much emotion there either. It's not great. I think there's a reason why Ronda's still wrestling and didn't transition to movies and TV. Like, I think there was a thought at one point that Ronda Rousey might transition into acting, but I think maybe not, you know? I think she's more effective in the ring when she's doing the physical stuff than she is on the mic when she's doing the talking sports entertainment type stuff. This promo didn't really work for me. She needs more emotion.
What I find in the select films that I've seen her in, like, she's better in small parts. Like, I don't think, like, in starring roles, like, that might be too much for her, I think.
Yeah, but this is a starring role,
I think in wrestling,
John. This is a starring role for her, right? Like, she's one of the stars of the show
here. Well, in wrestling, you got to kind of hide, like, the weaknesses a little bit. And unfortunately, they're exposing the weaknesses, sadly, in this one, where I think she's better at promos when she's talking back to somebody.
Yeah.
Like, when Charlotte got in the ring and they're starting talking back with each other, she seemed more comfortable. But when she's just talking open to the fans, it just seemed like, I don't know if she wasn't interested or like it was just she was bored. It didn't seem like there was much of anything there.
So, it just seemed like
they should just
Go ahead.
Well, just they should focus more on like what she's good at, like the brawling stuff at the, that's what they needed. Like I've been saying for a while, like this whole Charlotte Ronda thing, like there's been no action, there's been no excitement. Finally they gave us something. You know, I kind of wish they wouldn't show Ronda in such a bad light sometimes, though. Like, her coming out and smiling all the time, they're really trying to get that over too much.
Yeah. And when they give her those, you know, I mean, smiling, I think, honestly, I think it's working. Because the crowd just, they react to that. They're like, oh, she's being nice. And when the crowd, you see her going up to the fans and, you know, smiling
kids,
and talking
to
them, like it, you know, in the arena, it makes you feel good. It's like, oh, that's nice. I think that works, honestly. I think the smiling and the going up to the fans and the kids, I think that works and that endears Ronda to the audience because she's this badass who's also really nice and she's got a kid at home and she's nice to the kids and she's, you know, she's nice and she's a badass. So people like that. I think if Brock once in a while went up to the fans and, like, slapped their hands and, like, took some pictures, I think people would support Brock a lot more than they do. I think people like Brock, but they're hesitant to fully accept him because they know he doesn't give a fuck about them. You know, like, Brock, I don't know anybody who's, like, a diehard Brock Lesnar fan who, like, supports Brock in everything he does. I know people that like Brock that think he's cool, but it's not like Charlotte Flair fans or Sasha Banks fans or, you know, CM Punk fans or Bryan Danielson fans. Like, there's a sense with a lot of wrestlers that they care about the fans. With Brock, there is none of that. And with Ronda, they felt like there was a resentment of the fans. But now that she's smiling and she's embracing the fans and taking pictures and kissing babies, I think it's honestly working. I think it was a smart move by Vince to tell her to do that. I think it's working for her. She's getting love as a babyface. What's not working is this scripted stuff that she's given to say by herself in monologue format in the ring. She's obviously not comfortable doing that. It didn't work tonight. But when she's fighting, she's comfortable fighting. She's a fighter, you know? She's comfortable doing that. The main event thing was really good with Charlotte. I like that brawl. Ricochet wrestles Sami Zayn, and then when the match ends, we cut to the parking lot. Ronda and Charlotte are fighting. Ronda tossed a guy at Charlotte, knocked Charlotte down. He kept brawling. Charlotte suplexed Ronda on the hood of a car. And then was, like, pulling at Ronda's face with her nails, like, in Ronda's mouth. It looked vicious. Just kind of yanking at Ronda's face. Huh?
Like, it seemed like there was a jump cut. I don't know if you noticed. Like, at one point, got in a hole, and then at one point she's, like, ripping on her face, like, in a different position almost. I don't know if you noticed there was a bit of a jump cut. Like, I don't know if maybe it was just the way it was edited on SmackDown, the way I saw it. Like, maybe there was, like, a glitch in the TV, whatever, but it seemed like there was just an edit.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Maybe it was pre-taped. I mean, it would make sense, right? I didn't notice the edit, but I'd have to go back and watch again to see what you're talking about. But I thought it worked out really well. Charlotte kind of slammed Ronda's head on the car, and Ronda dropped, and Charlotte left. Ronda's all beat up as SmackDown ends. I thought it was really good. They brought the intensity. It felt like they were throwing some real shots at each other. Ronda was really tossing Charlotte around. And in the end, Charlotte looked strong. Charlotte won the fight. And she stands tall, which I think you really need, because not many people right now are believing in Charlotte Flair to beat Ronda Rousey. You need to put Charlotte over in a lot of these instances going into the pay-per-view to give Charlotte a chance to make you believe that she's got a shot in hell at beating Ronda. Because I think most people think, yeah, well, Ronda's just going to run through her like she runs through everybody else. Even though it is Charlotte Flair, you kind of forget because, like, well, this is Ronda's big return match. She just won the Rumble for this match at Mania. You kind of figure Ronda's just going to smash through Charlotte. You need to give fans a reason to believe in Charlotte a bit. You know what I mean? It's for the match, right? You got to build the match. You got to build Charlotte a bit now. So I thought they did a good job in doing that at the end of the show tonight. It was good.
No, I agree. Like, again, they needed some sort of action, something more than just the usual that we've got week in, week out with them. And they finally gave us a bit more. I mean, that was a good step in the right direction. Hopefully this continues. Like, it's not just this, because I fear that this is as good as it gets. And if that's the case, and it still kind of sucks overall in the end, they still need to do more. They need to maybe step it up a bit more.
I think you need to have Ronda in the figure eight in trouble. I think you need to have Charlotte apply that figure eight on TV, make Ronda look like she's in trouble, like maybe in a situation where Ronda doesn't tap out, but she's, you know, hurt and she manages to escape, but put Ronda in some danger where Charlotte applies her submission hold and Ronda maybe doesn't tap. But, like, you know, Charlotte puts her in the figure eight, and Ronda's, like, selling, manages to drag herself out of the ring, falls out of the ring, breaks the hold, sells her legs and back. You know what I'm saying? Like, ah, that hurt, that hurt, and then that's all you see on that segment. I think there needs to be a moment where Charlotte not only looks like she can beat up Ronda in a fight, but also that she could tap out Ronda with a submission hold. Like, Ronda's submission hold, the armbar has been established. There's been some talk about the ankle lock. You're starting to establish that a little bit. I think you need to remind people that Charlotte Flair has her own finishing hold, a submission hold. Her father, famous for the figure four leg lock, and she, of course, famous for the figure eight. She has improved it and made it even better. So Charlotte needs to... I think they need to remind the audience that Charlotte is a submission wrestler as well, that she's got a killer submission hold that even the great Ronda Rousey is susceptible to, and if Charlotte puts that figure eight on, Ronda may tap out. Like, if Charlotte's saying, I'm going to tap you out at Mania, and you're like, that's not happening, what a joke. If they showed you, like, hey, here's Charlotte putting her submission on Ronda, you're like, oh, okay. Maybe. I mean, you still wouldn't buy it, John, but some people might, right? And that's what you want to do.
Well, they got to give Charlotte more of an advantage going into this, because Ronda still has a bit more of the advantage. Like, yeah, Charlotte won the fight, but it's not like Ronda was, like, completely beaten down. Like, she was still, like, looking to get into the fight again after she got beaten up. So it feels like Charlotte still has more to prove here.
Yeah. That's why I think maybe the figure eight at some point next week or the week after. Although next week would be a great time to have Charlotte Flair beat the hell out of Ronda Rousey, especially with maybe her finisher, the figure eight. Because next week, SmackDown is in, Charlotte, North Carolina. I mean, that's Charlotte Flair country. It's in Charlotte. SmackDown in Charlotte. That's going to be Charlotte's show. SmackDown in Charlotte next week. That's fun. Tonight they were in Birmingham, Alabama. home of her brother-in-law, Conrad Thompson, John. Little known fact, or they maybe widely known fact, actually. I don't know if you knew it, though. Go ahead, John.
I didn't really care too much. That's nice.
It doesn't matter.
Conrad,
he's a famous guy in the wrestling world. He's a famous guy. He talks about Alabama a lot. He loves Alabama. You've heard him.
Yeah, I heard him talk about it. I didn't realize he was born from there, but that's nice.
It doesn't matter. I thought you had something to say, John. I was waiting for you to say something.
No, I got nothing to say about that.
You have nothing to say.
It's nice for him.
Wow, I just completely shut you down with that Conrad Thompson Alabama talk. But yeah, don't you think it's going to be a big moment for Charlotte next week in Charlotte? Like, you know? Named after the town?
Well,
right?
It should be a pre-tape because it's more like she's going to get cheered. So if you want to save Ronda.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You got to save Ronda.
Yeah, you don't want to have Ronda go out there. Yeah. If Ronda gets booed, gets a hostile crowd, yeah, it might be rough. And then we got SmackDown. There's only two more SmackDowns left before Mania. SmackDown next week is in Charlotte, and the SmackDown after is in Brooklyn. And then after that, it's the SmackDown Hall of Fame show the night before Mania in Dallas, which I don't even think counts. Because half of it's going to be the Hall of Fame, from what I understand. So I don't know. So that's the Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair saga tonight. Sasha Banks and Naomi beat Natty and Shayna. I thought Natty and Shayna might get a win as a new tag team, but they didn't.
Nope.
Sasha hit like a code breaker type move from her knees on Natty after Natty bumped into Zelina on the apron.
Kind of crappy.
Yeah, it was a terrible finish. What the hell was that? Ugh.
They didn't have anything else, I guess. Like, just a bad finish.
Couldn't she do it standing, that code breaker? She has to do it from her knees? Looked like nothing. There was no impact on that.
Because it's a variation. It's new and edgy.
It sucks. It sucks.
I agree.
And what are Carmella and Zelina doing there? Like, I know they're feuding with Sasha and Naomi, but, like, they wind up costing Natty and Shayna the match. So maybe we have Natty and Shayna wrestle Zelina and Carmella next week, and if they beat them, they're in the match at WrestleMania? Because I did read somewhere, I forget, one of those guys was reporting that Natty was probably going to be in the match with a tag team partner, and it was going to be a fatal four-way because it's Carmella and Zelina defending the women's tag belts against Sasha and Naomi and Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley, and maybe Natty and Shayna, or maybe not. Whatever.
Well, I think Natty and like Sonya makes more sense because that's the whole story that's been building for so long. You get to have it at WrestleMania, Naomi and Sonya, so like do that.
I don't need to see Sonya Deville wrestle ever again. I'd rather see Shayna.
Too bad. You're going to see her wrestle again. Like it's going to happen.
I could leave the room, John. I could make it happen that it never happens again. There are ways around it.
Well, I think there's a good chance for her at WrestleMania. But wait and see. I don't know. Like, this was not good. If you want Shayna to be in the match, this was not a good step for it to happen.
So Natty's going to do that thing where she abandons a tag team partner until she finds one that's just right and becomes her partner? Isn't that what she always
done
does?
Before. Yeah.
With Tamina, she did that too. She had, like, a few partners, and then she's like, Tamina, you're working. I don't know.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. And then the Usos cut a promo with Nakamura and Boogs, and the Usos are like, hey, Boogs, you have a hurt leg, so if you can beat Jey Uso tonight in a singles match, well, we'll give you a tag team title shot at WrestleMania. And Boogs is like, okay, and then he won. Boogs
like
beat Jey Uso.
Too.
Yeah, he squashed him. He did like 10 gorilla presses, just pressing him over his head, doing all sorts of ridiculous power moves. The guy's strong. He's not much of a wrestler, but he is really strong.
Has a good look. I can go far.
Yeah, he's got a decent look. He had a better look when he had the longer hair. I don't know why they cut his hair. Makes him look real plain with the cut hair.
Yeah, but I think he looked too much like Elias, and I think they want to make him different from that, so.
They haven't fired Elias yet. He's still under contract, eh? That's weird.
Well, they must have some sort of idea. And usually after WrestleMania they come up with new storylines, right? So good chance you'd see him after Mania, maybe on the Raw after Mania.
Or not.
Or right? Not, yeah, sure.
Or not. So Rick Boogs beats Jey Uso. So now it's going to be Boogs and Nakamura versus the Usos at WrestleMania for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. I mean, I know you're trying to fill the card and everything, and everybody goes, it has to be at Mania, but this is a SmackDown match at best. This is Mania? You're supposed to build up to Mania. There's supposed to be a reason. There's no reason for this. There's no point to this. Who needs to see the Usos against Boogs and Nakamura? Weak.
Well, I think the problem here is just the fact there's really no other teams for them to face in terms of like face tag teams. They've already beat the New Day so many times over, and they just recently beat the Viking Raiders. So there's really no other teams for them.
Yeah, but
it's what it comes down to.
I know, but they've been the tag team champions for so long. You would think the WWE could come up with a plan like 3 months ago. Like, okay, what do we do with the Usos? They're going to be the tag champs. Like, let's come up with something for them. The fact that this is just slapped together and it's the best they could do, it's disappointing, man. They've been champions for a while. It's not like, oh, we got to do something. Somebody got hurt. They've had time to plan this. And it's not just that they've been champions for a while, but they are Roman's guys. And there's so much emphasis put on Roman that you could build something off, you know, Roman. Like, there should be a spinoff match of Brock Lesnar, like somebody associated with Brock in some way to go up against the Usos. But Brock is just this lone wolf with no friends, so... You know, but like Shelton and Cedric would have made sense because Shelton's got a history with Brock. But, you know, it's just disappointing because they have so much with Roman and the Usos are right there. And you would think, hey, give the Usos something too. Play off the Roman story. Do a spinoff match with the Usos against some other guys. But they don't have that, you know? And it's just the Usos against Boogs and Nakamura because, well, we got nothing else. These are the guys that are left. Whatever. It's just one of the greatest tag teams. Maybe the greatest tag team, you know, in the world today. They're one of the best tag teams in the world. They're associated with the top guy in the business. They're one of the greatest tag teams WWE's ever had. They're tag team champions, been tag team champions all year. For months and months now. And they do nothing with them. Yeah.
Well, I just find the tag division isn't that strong. And, you know, they're doing the unification for the world titles. Maybe they should also do that for the tag team titles.
Yeah. Well, I've been advocating for a unification of the tag team titles for a long time, right? Because the women's are unified, and they don't do anything with their tag team division. There's so few teams. They should have unified the men's tag team titles a long time ago. But, that would have made sense, right? That's a great idea, you know? Like, Roman is unifying his belt with Brock. So the Usos putting out a challenge to RK-Bro, unify the belts. Face us. Like, if it was Usos against RK-Bro at Mania for the Unified Tag Team Championships, that would be a match that would be worthy of WrestleMania that you would care about, that you would tune in to see and be like, man, I wonder what happens here. Right? Like, that'd be good.
100%. 100%, yeah.
It's what they should be
doing. I agree with that.
Because, like, what's RK-Bro going to be doing? Maybe Street Profits or something? You know what I'm saying? Like, some jabroni match that doesn't matter. Yeah, right? But who cares? We don't need to see that. That's a Raw match at best. It should be Street Profits, RK-Bro, Usos, Shinsuke and Boogs in a fatal four-way for all the marbles.
Sure, yeah.
Just something.
Not going to happen. But.
No, but, you know, you want something to make it feel like WrestleMania, you know? It's got to feel, and when you throw these matches that could happen on an ordinary episode of SmackDown, it doesn't feel like Mania. It doesn't even feel like a pay-per-view. Like, WrestleMania is not supposed to feel like a pay-per-view. It's supposed to feel like one of the greatest pay-per-views of all time. Like, holy shit, I can't believe we're seeing this right now. Oh my God, it's stacked. Next match is going to be amazing. The one after that just keeps getting better. That's what Mania is supposed to feel like. It's not supposed to feel like, oh man, we got to sit through all of this. Who wants to watch a show that feels like a chore? You know what I mean? Usually when you watch a show, you want to be excited throughout. But WrestleMania, a lot of it's going to feel like a chore. Like Boogs and Nakamura against the Usos is going to feel like a chore to sit through. No matter how good it is, it just doesn't matter. It holds no weight, and it doesn't feel like a big match. Thank you, Harold, dropping a super chat. Appreciate you. Harold is a super chat leader tonight so far. Mania is supposed to feel big. Doesn't feel big to me. I don't know about you, but Austin Theory against Pat McAfee doesn't really sell a Mania for me. Theory comes out, slaps McAfee before the Sami Zayn Ricochet match. McAfee fights back, actually puts a pretty good beating on Theory. The beating wasn't bad, actually. Not bad. Michael Cole and a couple guys come out, get between them. Cole was treating it real serious, like, come on, Pat. Like, you don't want to do this. Come on. Cole's doing pretty good there. Good acting for Michael Cole. You know? It was like good acting. He sold it well. And then a couple security guys come out between them. Theory goes to the stage. McAfee kind of follows Theory to the stage with the security guys. Theory tries to break through security but can't. Two guys Theory can't break through. Earlier in the night, Brock Lesnar tore through four men by himself. Austin Theory and Pat McAfee struggle to get through two men. Whereas Brock tore through four guys. And yeah, Charlotte and Ronda, they were tossing security guards around like they were no problem. Austin Theory can't get through two guys. Couldn't do it. Tried, failed.
Charlotte and Ronda threw around like former WWE superstars like Jamie Noble,
yeah,
Gregory Helms. There was another, someone else there as well.
You call him Gregory Helms?
I think it was there.
I call him Shane Helms. You say Gregory Helms?
Yeah.
Shane, isn't it Shane Helms? What's his real name? It's Shane, no? Gregory was his WWE name? Or is it the other way around?
Right. I think you have it right.
Okay. The Hurricane. Just call him the Hurricane. What are you doing? No, his real name is... Oh, we're both right. His name is Gregory Shane Helms. His middle name is Shane. Huh. But we all know him as the Hurricane. Yeah, I saw Gregory Helms. So was he Shane Helms in WCW? Where was he Shane?
Sugar Shane.
Was he always Gregory in WWE, or was he Shane and then Gregory?
He may have always been Gregory, actually.
But he was just the Hurricane. I thought he was Hurricane Shane Helms, and then at one point... Didn't he call himself Gregory Helms? Like, wasn't that his name? Gregory Helms. I remember him saying that.
When he first came in with the invasion angle, I think he was Gregory Helms, I think.
Okay.
And then he became the Hurricane during all that. And then once he turned heel and took the Hurricane mask off, then, he was just Gregory Helms. Nice little Gregory Helms history lesson. Here.
Gregory Helms. Yeah, well, I just thought it was interesting that you called him Gregory Helms, and I'm like, he's Shane Helms to me. But I guess, you know, in wrestling, you never know what you might call somebody. Like, people call him William Regal, you know, I'm like, Steve Regal. It's Lord Steven. It just kind of depends where you and how you come to know these people. He's the Hurricane. Hurricane got tossed around by Ronda and Charlotte, and I like Ronda punching Jamie Noble in the face. That was funny. This one's for Nydia, you know, bam. She didn't say that.
She punch a ref, too? Like,
yeah, whatever.
Should be some fines there.
Suspension. Well, Sonya Deville can't suspend Ronda. She's tried but failed, right? So.
No, it was Charlotte, though. It wasn't Ronda.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. You can't suspend Charlotte either because she's too damn cool. I like that Charlotte was wearing pants? I think she was wearing pants. It was like a one-piece jumpsuit or something in a bra with Ronda. Because she could not fight Ronda earlier in the night. She was wearing that skirt. You notice they shot right up her skirt as she left the ring?
Yeah.
Like, what? You know she's leaving the ring. Maybe get a different angle. Or maybe they did that on purpose. I don't know, but I was like, are we supposed to be seeing Charlotte's underwears right now? What's happening? It was like a very obvious shot, like right up. I mean, it was a very short dress that Charlotte was wearing, but still, a lot of the women wear short dresses, and they usually help them out with the camera by not shooting right up their dress as they're leaving the ring. A little respect for the queen, please. Goddamn Kevin Dunn, you know?
I guess they were on the ball with that one. Oh, well.
Johnny's not mad at it. Rick O'Shea beats... wait, let's talk about Austin Theory and Pat McAfee for a second. Who cares? You know, does anybody care about this? Without the Vince interaction. Like, when this is just Theory and Pat McAfee, it's so nothing. Theory is a nobody. McAfee is a commentator. At least if somebody came out and had a match with Gorilla Monsoon or Jesse Ventura when they were on commentary back in the day, it would have made sense. Jerry Lawler. These guys are all wrestlers. Pat McAfee isn't a wrestler. You could go at Byron Saxton or Corey Graves and it would make more sense than this. But Pat McAfee is a very successful podcaster and he used to kick a football in the NFL, so he's the guy that they're using. And he's going to wrestle Austin Theory, and it's just terrible. I don't think anybody wants to see this. I don't know who anybody is supposed to cheer for. McAfee? Theory? I don't know who I'm supposed to cheer for. I think I'm cheering for Austin Theory. I'm not sure why. I don't really want to see this at all.
Well, I know you didn't like McAfee's match against Adam Cole, but a lot of people did. And I think people want to see him actually wrestle again. And honestly, out of all the celebrity matches, this is probably going to be the best one that we see, I think, at WrestleMania.
Okay, well, we have a few, right? Do you count Stone Cold Steve Austin and Kevin Owens as a celebrity match?
I mean, it's not really a match. It's going to be a segment, right?
It's going to be a fight, brother. I think they're going to brawl. It's going to be like a fight sequence, they're describing it as.
Talking, too, of course.
Talking and then some fighting. Well, Miz is going to team with Logan Paul to take on the Mysterios. That'll probably be awful. Johnny Knoxville versus Sami Zayn, and then Pat McAfee versus Austin Theory. Quite a few celebrity matches here. Ricochet beat Sami Zayn tonight via pinfall after the 6:30 splash to retain the Intercontinental title. Decent match. May have been match of the night on a night where we didn't have a lot of good matches.
Didn't have a lot of matches, period. Like, there wasn't a lot of anything that happened tonight. I mean, I thought they had a better match last week, but by default, they win this week, match of the night, because there wasn't anything else really to compete.
And Johnny Knoxville and Sami Zayn are continuing their feud. Ricochet's the new Intercontinental Champion, but he's just kind of there. He's got nothing for WrestleMania right now. Sami Zayn, he's feuding with Johnny Knoxville. And Johnny Knoxville put Sami Zayn's phone number, apparently Sami Zayn's phone number, on an airplane banner and had it fly across Los Angeles or something. And people
it was
were
on TMZ.
Huh?
Like, he showed on TMZ that he
right.
did that.
Right. And apparently Sami Zayn was getting phone calls on probably a burner phone. You know what I mean? Like, they probably bought a phone and they're like, here, Sami, this is going to be the phone that we're going to put the number out for. And then they did this and... I don't know. I don't know what we're supposed to think about this. Is this supposed to be funny or... Like, it's just like, okay, it's more fake shit with Sami Zayn and Johnny Knoxville. Who cares?
Well, yeah, to Hugh and me, it's not a big deal. I think to most people, it's not a big deal. But the fact that they got TMZ talking about it, it's a big deal because it got more into the mainstream, right?
Right.
So it got more people talking about WrestleMania. So regardless that we think it's stupid, it got more people talking about WrestleMania. So mission accomplished.
I'm cheering for Johnny Knoxville in that one, too. I hope he ruptures Sami Zayn's testicles or something in one of those matches. Those jackass guys are always rupturing testicles. Sami Zayn thinks he's tough. Let's see how tough he is with one nut. Half those jackass guys have one nut, man. Those guys do terrible things to themselves. I'm not advocating for the detesticalization of Sami Zayn. I'm just saying, I don't care about this match, and I kind of want Sami Zayn to get kicked in the balls for being the force behind this and forcing me to watch this at WrestleMania.
Well, it feels like he's going to lose. That's what it seems like. And I feel like they took the title off of him because they didn't want to make Knoxville a champion.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. I think Johnny Knoxville does win because Sami Zayn's just kind of a joke wrestler, right?
Well, it's just it feels like I think they probably want Knoxville to maybe wrestle again sometime down the future, so have him go over, and then they might use him again, possibly. Who knows?
He's like 50-something years old, no?
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, he was in his 30s, wasn't he, when Jackass started?
Yeah. No, he's old. I don't think he should wrestle. He's also, like, beat up. His whole body's, like, a mess. He's like an old wrestler, except he doesn't have the physique for it.
Or the skill.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's a mess. I don't think it should happen. And I don't think any of it is funny. Maybe, Angelo, you think it's funny. I don't know, man. I don't think it's very funny. Like, Sami Zayn saying, oh, stop calling me. He's got so many texts and phone calls, like, this is not Sami Zayn's phone. This is a phone that was bought by the WWE to do this angle. This isn't Sami Zayn's real phone number. You know what I mean? Like, this is the WWE bought a phone, and Johnny Knoxville put the number out so that Sami Zayn could get the calls. Like, Sami Zayn really does have possession of the phone, probably, to put these tweets out and stuff, but that's all this is, just a phone given to Sami Zayn. Like, his real phone that his real family and friends, they have the number for, that's not the number Johnny Knoxville put out. This is a fake phone because wrestling is fake and WWE is fake, and there's nothing about this that makes me believe or care or laugh or cry or feel any emotion. Just kind of like, ugh, okay. Good for you, Sammy. You're doing this angle. It's kind of like, whatever. It's cool for him. He gets to do the thing with Johnny Knoxville, and I guess that's what it's about, trying to get more eyes from the mainstream on WrestleMania. It's a promo match, really. It's not really a match that people want to see. It's a match to try and get more people watching the WWE, which, you know, I'm sure WWE likes that, and good for them. As a fan, I'm just not that interested. Boring.
Well, I just hope they have a good idea for this. Like, if you're going to go ahead and have a celebrity match, make sure, like, you have something interesting planned for this, because if you actually try to do a wrestling match, oof, it's going to be rough, I think.
Doug texted the number. Yeah, I mean, sure.
I wouldn't waste the charges on it. Like, it's not worth it.
Well, I don't think it costs you anything for a text unless you have some sort of weird phone plan, John. You
well,
paper
sometimes
text?
Sometimes you do. You could, pay? Yeah. It's a long-distance number, yeah.
What kind of weird phone plan do you have? I don't have that. I could text anybody I want. But texting the number or calling the number is kind of pointless because he'll never answer. Because it's a joke phone for the angle that they're doing for SmackDown tonight. It's, yeah. That's WrestleMania, guys. RK-Bro apparently will defend the tag team titles at Mania. They still don't have an opponent, probably the Street Profits. And there's talk of Seth freaking Rollins wrestling a one-on-one match at WrestleMania. Still no opponent for him. There are rumors. Rumors running around now. I mean, we'll have 3 more episodes of Raw and 3 more episodes of SmackDown technically before WrestleMania here coming up. And Raw's in Jacksonville, Florida, Monday night. And there is a rumor that Seth Rollins will be wrestling Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania, and Cody's going to show up Monday to start that program. Do you buy it?
Well, I certainly believe now that it was supposed to be Shane versus Seth Rollins. It feels like that makes a lot of sense. And I can see how they would have been building it up to this point. With Seth kind of like pushing, or Shane pushing Seth, like, do something, and then he failed. And then Shane getting on his case, and then they end up wrestling each other. I could see that going down.
I thought it would be Shane versus Austin Theory. I thought Shane was going to wrestle Austin Theory this year, and they took...
That's what Shane wanted.
Yeah, I've heard that that was the plan. Like, Shane was going to wrestle Austin Theory, and Pat McAfee was the backup when Shane didn't work out.
Shane wanted Austin Theory, but they didn't want that. They wanted him to wrestle Seth Rollins. And Shane's like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do the Austin Theory match.
Hmm.
So again, the butting of heads on that one.
Okay. So Seth Rollins now, what do we do? Is it Cody? Because there's talk that Cody hasn't even actually signed with WWE yet. There was talk recently, I think it was the Wrestling Observer, I'm not sure, but I remember seeing where they said, well, Cody was going to sign a big money deal with WWE, but then the news got out that he was leaving AEW, so WWE offered him less money because the surprise was gone, and Cody's kind of not sure that he wants to take the lesser offer from WWE. And now Cody might not go to WWE and may show up as the new showrunner for Ring of Honor or something. Like, I don't know where Cody winds up. I'm wondering. But I'm quite skeptical that he'll show up in Jacksonville on Monday night. Like, I doubt it. But I've been surprised before. I'd love to be surprised again. But to me, bringing one of these guys in from AEW, like a Cody Rhodes, you might want to wait till after WrestleMania to reintroduce him to the fans. I don't know if you want him for Mania, given you only have 3 weeks to kind of build him up as a new character with some match with Seth Rollins, which doesn't even make a lot of sense. Like, there's no history there. I don't know if you build Cody up in 3 weeks for a match at Mania with Seth. And if you do, like, does it work? I feel like Cody is a guy that you would have kept for the Raw after Mania as a big debut, and then you go from there. You build him for next year's Mania. And for, you know, whatever he's going to do over the next year. What do you think? You think we see Cody before Mania? There's a lot of rumors that Seth and Cody is in the plans, at least.
Well, the way I look at it, if it's not Cody, then who is it? I feel like there's not a lot of options here for Seth. And, like, it almost kind of has to be Cody, just so it gives Seth some sort of match that's kind of special for WrestleMania. And, you know, you say there's not a lot of build. I mean, it's Cody Rhodes, son of the American Dream, coming back. Cody has history in WWE. It's not like he's a nobody. And he has been in the wrestling eye for quite a while, so people know who he is. I think it would be an attraction to see that match. Is it a high top-tier match? I wouldn't really say that, but it's a match I'd be very interested to see.
I just think that there, I mean, people obviously know Cody and he's been in the WWE, but there's no real story between Cody and Seth Rollins. What's the story there? Why do they wrestle, you know? Other than, oh, I'm going to come out and attack you for no reason in particular. Like, there's no history between those two guys. None that I can think of, anyways.
I mean, there was a little bit where you know, that's how Cody and Dustin won the tag titles, was they beat the Shield. Okay. So, I mean, you could say that was kind of like the start of the end of the Shield was off them, possibly. But, I mean, that's reaching for something.
Yeah.
Really, I think it's just going to be open challenge, pretty much.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Seth should issue an open challenge, have nobody answer it, and then he just doesn't wrestle at Mania, and it drives him even crazier, and then you go from there with Seth. He's crazy, and he's on a tear, and he's out for revenge.
Well, Seth's going to wrestle WrestleMania. You know that. Again, why? We have
Charlotte didn't more wrestle last year. They kept Charlotte off the card last year. They had two nights. You could keep Seth off the card this year.
Well, there was controversy with Charlotte, because didn't she test positive for COVID? That was a problem?
Yeah, but she was fine by Mania time. They could have built something up for her. The problem with Charlotte was they were building up a match with her and Lacey Evans with Ric Flair there, but then Lacey got pregnant and everything went to shit.
Well, also because Andrade wanted to leave WWE.
There was that,
and they
too.
Wouldn't give him his release.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of drama going on.
There's a lot of drama going on. But, you know, I think post-Mania, when Charlotte did show up, it made her a bigger star. Keeping her off the show.
She's been champion pretty much ever since.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there was controversy. There was buzz, though, about Charlotte. And when she did show up, like, I remember doing shows thinking, is she leaving? And then when she came back, it was like, damn, she's here. And it made her even bigger and more special. And this year, she's wrestling Ronda Rousey in the main event of the first night of WrestleMania. They're main eventing, by the way. That's official. From what I understand, they're going on last on the Saturday Mania.
Well, is Becky even wrestling still? Like, do we know what's going on with Becky? Like, what's going on?
Don't know. She's hurt.
That match doesn't happen. Wow.
Yeah, it needs to happen. I think it will happen, but I don't know. I don't know. You hear what CM Punk said about Bret Hart?
I caught a bit of it. Like, I think when it was happening, actually, I didn't even realize they were doing the whole post-scrum thing. But that was happening, yeah, and he started talking about Brett. Yeah, it's great that he loves Brett. It's great to hear.
Let's hear it. Let's hear CM Punk talk about Bret Hart. But first, did you hear that story that Dax Harwood told about Shawn Michaels?
Of course. I know Shawn's a jerk. It's well established.
I don't think we've talked about this, John, and I think, you know, anytime Shawn Michaels is exposed as being a piece of shit human being, we have to address it as, you know, the Bret Hart super fans that we are. Shawn's still a piece of garbage. Dax Harwood told this story on Renee's podcast about how he'd gone through injuries, and he really spilled his heart out to Shawn Michaels, and, you know, he talked about depression and maybe not going back to wrestling and quitting the business, and Shawn one-on-one was very nice, but then this was the Raw anniversary show, some sort of super Raw special show.
25th or something?
25th, where all the NWO guys and the clique beat up the Revival. So Shawn is being really nice to Dax Harwood. And then afterwards, when he's in front of Diesel and Razor and Pac and Hunter, of course.
Triple H.
Yeah. He makes fun of Dax, saying, oh, this guy's hurt, and he's crying his guts out to me. Ha, 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 what a pussy. And they all made fun of him. And,
I don't know if he said he's that exactly.
Well, whatever, okay. But, Dax took it as, oh, this guy, I thought he was nice. I thought he was, you know, kind of, we had a moment and an understanding, and then he goes and kind of makes fun of me in front of his friends. And I just read that story, and I said, God damn, that is typical Shawn Michaels. He is still the same slimy piece of shit he has always been and always will be. You could change your attitude. You could lose all your hair. Your eye could go as wonky as you want, but you're still the piece of shit boy toy motherfucker. God damn, what a piece of garbage he is. Always has been, and always will be, apparently. Man, great wrestler, but just, all the shit that he's done in his career, you would think that he would have learned his lesson. And I thought that he had. I thought that he was maybe, you know, a better guy now. But hearing stories like that, you're like, God damn, same old Shawn Michaels. What a dick. What a dick. Here's CM Punk talking about Bret the Hitman Hart.
After my match, somebody came up to me. I don't need to say who. And they were just like, you're going to hate me for saying this, but I do this because of you. You know, I saw Straight Edge Society and I was blown away. And I went to WrestleMania to watch you and Rey Mysterio. And I got into wrestling because of you. And I didn't know that this particular individual got into wrestling or anything because of me. So it's just, man, I'll put it to you like this. I love Bret Hart, and Bret Hart's career was cut short. And it's a goddamn tragedy because there's people that go over Saudi Arabia and they get paid millions of dollars. And, you know, that should have been Bret.
Talk about Goldberg there. There's people that go over to Saudi Arabia, make millions of dollars, that ended Bret Hart's career, and it should be Bret. Fuck you, Goldberg.
You know,
it's also Sean, and, too, by the way.
Yeah, but Goldberg's the one who kicked him in the head. But yeah, Sean, too.
I just feel super fortunate.
And Hunter, who went over and took that blood money, who was part of the screw job. Fuck you, Triple H, too.
I'm grateful and appreciative that I got a second chance, you know? I'd give it up in a heartbeat to give it to Bret. But I'm going to enjoy it.
I mean, he's crying when he's saying that. I'm grateful I got a second chance. And I'd give it up in a heartbeat to give it to Bret. That's an honorable man right there. That's a good brother.
That's the best part we said at the end.
What do you say? Hold on. Let's keep going.
But I'm going to enjoy it. And I just love that motherfucker so much, you know? Like, he's the greatest, and he was right. He was fucking, Bret Hart is always right.
Yup. I love that motherfucker so much, too. And he is the greatest. And he was right. And he's always right. And he's always been right. Best there was, best there is. Best there is, best there was, best there ever will be. I can't botch the catchphrase here when I'm talking about Bret. Let's show some goddamn respect. This guy right here. This guy, Bret the Hitman. You can't mess with this guy. This is a number one wrestler of all time. And I love that Punk says, you know, Bret was right. Bret's always been right. It's like, fucking right. Thank you, Punk. You know we love Bret around here. We got Bret's on Bret's around here. Bret's on Bret's on Bret's. We just collect Bret stuff over here because we love Bret. God damn, I love Bret Hart.
Where are they? I always got my shades ready, baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Got the shades, baby. We always ready. We're always ready for Bret time. All right, I got excited here about Bret. I love to see CM Punk showing the respect for the greatest wrestler of all time, though. You know? Showing respect, talking about Bret. Gotta love it. Bret's the best. And people are starting to figure out what we've known our whole lives is that Bret Hart is the greatest ever. And he was always right, and he's always stood up for what's right in professional wrestling, and he's always been a true hero, and he's always been an honorable man, super chat. And fuck everybody else. Fuck Shawn Michaels, fuck Triple H, fuck everybody that ever fucked with Bret. Hakushi, everybody. No disrespect to Hakushi. Jean-Pierre Lafitte, I'm talking to you. I'm joking.
Well, I don't know about you, but you can feel in wrestling, there's guys that are Bret guys, you know.
Yeah.
CM Punk, FTR. FCR want him to be their manager. Hopefully that happens. I don't know if it will. But then you can see there's guys that are Shawn Michaels guys. Young Bucks, Adam Cole.
Yeah.
You know, even Kevin Owens, even though he's not in the storylines. I mean, he does a lot of the Shawn Michaels stuff. So, you know, like you can see in wrestling, there's a lot of guys that are Brett guys. Some guys are Shawn guys.
Yeah, I like the Brett guys better. And, you know, even though Bryan Danielson was trained by Shawn Michaels, I feel like he's still a Brett guy. Something about him. Well, you know what I mean?
I mean, I think he respects both of them, but, you know, obviously, like, he has a bond with Shawn that he doesn't have with Brett. You know, it's different.
Yeah. But I'm a Brett guy, you're a Brett guy, and we are diehard Brett guys forever. God, I love Bret Hart. And I love other wrestlers that appreciate Bret Hart as much as I do. You know? Like, don't you love that when you see other wrestlers talk about, like, Dax Harwood and the FTR guys? Those guys will not shut up about how much they love Bret Hart, and I love it. I love every minute of it, because they're right. He is the greatest to ever do it. And if you watch his matches, there's still nobody that's ever been better. He's unbelievable. Best there is.
He lives up to what he says, yeah.
Best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be. Doug Hepburn dropping a super chat. Thank you, Doug. Harold Schneider saying, will Brett be FTR's manager? There have been rumors about that because they fired Tully. They love Brett. Could Brett be a manager in AEW? I mean, I'll never say no to seeing Brett on TV. Give me more Brett.
Does Brett want to do that, though, is the question.
Yeah, I don't know. They got to pay Brett. Got to hook Brett up. Angelo Contagone has been a member of the team for 14 months, re-upping the membership. Thank you, Angelo. He says, much respect to Punk for showing love to Brett. Yeah. It made me love CM Punk a little bit more. I already did like CM Punk quite a bit. But him tearing up about how much he loves Bret Hart makes me love CM Punk. You know what I mean? Like, doesn't that add a little something to you and your feelings about CM Punk when you hear him crying about Bret Hart and how much he loves Bret? Makes me feel like an extra, you know, love for the guy. Bret guys.
I got a little distracted because I just saw the Queen for some reason, like, right next to me. I don't know what happened there.
It's just that my Twitter shows up, and people keep randomly retweeting. Anytime, like, I get a notification, I think, on Twitter, it shows up on the show, and people keep retweeting that picture of Charlotte that I put out, like, 5 days ago, and it's still getting tweets, and so far, it's at, that was the 47th retweet on it, and it's at 403 likes. I just keep getting notifications on that one. It never stops. People love Charlotte Flair. You post a picture of Charlotte Flair, and you will get nonstop likes and retweets. That's what that was, John.
It's good for people to know that just take pictures of Charlotte, possibly other women in WWE, and people keep liking and retweeting, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's going to work for everybody, but it seemed like I'm just, every time I check my phone, there's like a bunch of notifications from that one picture. I don't know why. I don't know why, but sometimes things just go like that. The internet is weird, John. You never know what might hit. Brett is the best, and that's it. That's all I have to say. I want to leave you with Brett Hitman Hart is the greatest wrestler of all time. He's the best. His niece, Natty, lost tonight on SmackDown, but she's awesome because she's related to Brett, and being related to Brett makes you a better wrestler by proxy. So, she's awesome. The hearts are awesome. Every heart is awesome. Bret Hart is the best. Nothing more to say.
Yeah, ending on Brett, that's the best way to go.
Yeah, end on Bret Hart, how much we love Bret Hart. What's your favorite Bret Hart match?
Well, that's really tough. I mean, there's so many good ones.
Give me, give me three that we should go watch right now. No, do that. I'll give you a couple, then you give me a couple. Let's do a couple that people maybe haven't seen that often and they should watch. Like, let's not say Owen versus Brett at WrestleMania 10, because, like, obviously. How about this one? Owen and Brett against the Steiner brothers tag team match. Classic.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, yeah. I really like that. I know everyone watches the Brett Bulldog from SummerSlam, but the Brett Bulldog from In Your House, I'm trying to remember what the name of that was. It may have just been In Your House 5 or 6, but that was really good. It's for the WWF Championship. When Brett Blades in that match, too. That's a great match. I highly recommend that one.
Google.
Whoa. How about this?
Whoa, what's going on here?
I don't know. How about this? Bret Hart versus Buzz Sawyer, Georgia Championship Wrestling 1979. Go back and watch that. Buzz Sawyer, one of my favorites, too. Go back and watch that. Young Bret before the Pink and Black, 1979 in Georgia. Pre-WWF Bret Hart. I like Buzz Sawyer. Bret versus Buzz from 79. All right? Couple Bret matches for you. And you know what's great about Bret matches? They're all good. You know?
Yeah, it's true.
They're all good. It doesn't really matter.
Even Brett will say, like, his match with Backlund, I think it was WrestleMania, was it 11 or 12? Probably, like, his least favorite match, even though I think it's still the best match on that show because that was a horrible WrestleMania. It's probably his least favorite match, though, because it's a missions match. And with Backlund, like, it didn't flow very well.
Yeah,
but even then, it was the best match you saw on that show.
It was still pretty damn good, though. You know? Like, even matches, Brett's like, it wasn't that good. Yeah, it still was pretty good, though, Brett. It still was pretty good. Because he's that damn good. Best ever. Brett. Gotta love Brett. Paul M. says, Brett Savage, Saturday Night Main Event, 1987. I like it. Heard Rick Steiner. Doug says Rick Steiner is getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, but not Scott. How do you do that? How do you do that? How do you induct one Steiner but not the other?
I don't know if they're going to do that. I'd be very surprised they do that. Doesn't make sense. I mean, Scott was the bigger name than Rick.
Yeah, but
no
Scott.
No offense to Rick, but
Scott's been banned from the company, and Rick's son is a future star. You would think, although I don't know after this week.
I don't know if Rick's much of anything without Scott. I mean, come on. I mean, there was a time like in like the 80s, late 80s for WCW, but they never capitalized on Rick and his popularity at that time.
No.
So I just don't see it, sadly.
Well, I don't think that's sad. I think that they should induct them both.
Well, it'd be great if they could actually do them individually and then as a team, but I just don't think they're that strong enough. It has to be as a tag team. Maybe Scott by himself.
You could
induct Rick by himself.
No, not Rick by himself. Rick by himself wouldn't make sense, but Scott by himself would. You could do Scott by himself easily.
Right.
The big bad
Rick
booty
never
daddy?
Got to that level, sadly.
No. Yeah, inducting Rick by himself would be like, aren't you guys forgetting something? Big Papa Pump is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
It's like you induct Stevie Ray, but you don't induct Booker T.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, it doesn't work.
Hey, guys, we're going to induct the Rockers into the WWE Hall of Fame. Here to accept is Marty Jannetty. Like, what?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We're going to induct Edge and Christian into the Hall of Fame. Here's Edge. Where's Christian? It's like they were going to induct Jeff Hardy in the Hall of Fame without Matt. Like, yeah, but shouldn't you? I mean, I guess you could do it, but
you could with that, though. That kind of
you could.
Work.
You could, Jeff, but still.
Jeff is WWE champ, yeah.
Still. We're going to induct. I don't know. I don't want to disparage any tag teams, but, you know, we're going to induct the Bushwhackers, but just Butch, and it's Pete Dunne. What? All right.
Well, I was going to say induct the Hart Foundation, but only Brett. I mean, you could actually do that, but...
Oh, you could do that. You could induct Brett a million times for several different reasons. Because he's awesome. The Hall of Fame could just be Brett every year. This year, we're going to honor the greatest wrestler of all time, Bret Hart! Hi, everybody. We're back. This year, we're going to honor the greatest wrestler of all time, Bret Hart. Please don't tackle him, crowd. Thank you. Please don't tackle the Hitman.
Remember the MJF promo on him?
What?
When Bret was in AEW.
Yeah.
And he was in the ring. Hangman was in the ring. MJF came out. And he's like, hey, Bret, watch out. And then that was just after having the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought MJF said some horrible things about Bret. I was about to not like MJF. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Did MJF say terrible things about Bret? Come on.
He said, like, look me in the eye, old man. He said that.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Bret will kick his ass. All right, guys. Thank you, everybody. Harold Schneider, you are the Super Chat leader of the night. Thank you, Harold. Thank you, Doug Hepburn, as well, for dropping a Super Chat. Thank you, Harold and Doug. Thank you to all the members, of course, tuning in tonight. Harold, Doug, Angelo. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Thank you to everybody tuning in live here on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. This is the Ringside Report Network. This is Wrestling Uncensored. Johnny and I will be back together again on Wednesday night after Dynamite in San Antonio. I will be back Monday night after Raw. I'm here after Raw every Monday, after Dynamite every Wednesday, and after SmackDown every Friday night here with Big Johnny. And, of course, Thursday nights as well, 8 p.m. Eastern time for Ringside Report MMA. We've got some big picks for tomorrow night's Magomed Ankalaev versus Thiago Santos fight card. If you missed Ringside Report MMA last night, do check out the replay. Big picks for a winning weekend for you on your UFC gambling, brought to you by Bet99.com. Bet with us over at Bet99.com using that promo code Ringside. Thank you, Angelo, for the super chat. He says, great show, guys. Have a great weekend. Back at you, Angelo. Have a great weekend, everybody. And we will talk to you again here on Monday on the Ringside Report Network. Get well, Big E. We're all thinking about you. We love you, Big E.